Please give it up for Alice Wu, Andy Feldman, Bree Kalla, Caitlin Harrington, and David Chalk.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Good evening, Krish, Hector, and esteemed audience members.
Oh, extra credit.
Yeah, that felt like a barbershop quartet. Yeah.
Quintet.
Quintet. Sorry. Good. Don't know how to count.
That's all right.
Can we get another suggestion of a favorite lyric?
Skating bullets on angel dust in a dead sea of fluid mercury.
Skating bullets on angel dust in a dead sea of fluid mercury.
Thank you so much. You know, fluid mercury makes me think of the T-1000 from Terminator 2.
Oh, yeah?
And I remember it because that came out, I don't know, when I was in fourth grade or something like that.
Sometime in the 80s.
But it was just like, at the time, it was like, that was movie magic. That was like, that's the front edge of what we can do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But now if you look at and this,
it looks so cheesy, you know?
It looks so, well,
not cheesy, but it does not look like, it doesn't look like
we're
it,
talking about Terminator 2 here.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you compare that to something that you might see, like, The Matrix, like, I remember seeing The Matrix for the first time.
Right.
And like, oh my god, that slow motion effect, I can't believe they did that.
And they called it Bullet Time. They, like, named it Bullet Time.
And it was brilliant. And now if you watch it, it's like, okay, I've seen that in like 50 movies after. Like, they did that in a scary movie. I remember, like, it was like...
Wait, the scary movies? Like the Wayans Brothers
scary movies? One of the Wayans Brothers scary movies.
They did
Bullet Time. And I was like, okay, this is now definitely overdone. No longer impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, okay, but just think about how far we've like progressed in the last 20 years from like Fluid Mercury T-1000 to Snapchat, like, swapping faces. Like,
that's true, yeah.
That's crazy. It's crazy. In my lifetime, like, I've seen all of this happen.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. I mean, when I think about, like, everything that I now take for granted, I remember I used to talk on the phone, and, like, I'd be talking on a cell phone, and I'd start ducking down, like, crouching a little bit at the end of a phone call, and I had no idea, why am I crouching down at the end of every phone call to hang up? And I realized it's because I used to have a phone that wasn't even a cordless, and I need to, like, duck down to put it back on the receiver, and that's why I kept doing it. Like, oh, my gosh, this has just been programmed into
I have a similar thing where, I pick up, and I know who it is by the caller ID, but I'm still like, hello? Like, who is this? Oh, mom, hi.
I actually don't do that either. Like, I can always say, hi, mom, how's it going? And I wonder if, like, would my mom be impressed by that? How did you know it was me?
Yeah, right. Like, your mom thinks it's black magic. Yeah. I feel like this speaks to the thing that I do, which is, like, formality, these, like, traditional formalities that I normally eschew, but, like, I think it's one of those things that makes me slightly pretentious. Is like when people use acronyms, I'm like, I don't know what the acronym is. You're gonna have to say the entire thing out for me.
Uh-huh.
Definitely makes me an asshole.
Yeah.
But do you know what I mean? Like, where when people are like, LOL, I'm like, don't know what that means. You're gonna have to laugh out loud for me.
Well, honestly, sometimes I don't make people do that. On the other hand, sometimes people will say one and I have no clue what it is.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Somebody said DTR last week, and I'm like, what is DTR? DTR, and then they said, define the relationship. I'm like, is that what that stands for? I had no idea. Like, I was just like,
I
wasn't sure if that was a real thing.
I think DTR, like, to me, DTR is down to relationship.
Down to that could work too.
Yeah. Like, you're not
down. Are you DTR?
Hey, girl, you down to DTR?
You down to DTR?
What?
That's redundant. That's like ATM machine. It's like one of those things that bothers me with abbreviations. Like, it's automatic teller machine. Like, down to DTR.
Wait, that bothers you? Like, ATM machine bothers you?
It does. I'll say it sometimes, but it's redundant. You know, you've already said the M. Why do you need to say machine afterwards?
Yeah, but maybe it's just like to remind people that this is a machine and not a human being.
Hey, I'm somebody who gives you cash.
Yeah. What if the whole like this whole trend of artisanal like coffee and such gets to the point where like an ATM machine is actually a person that hands out cash.
So it's just like an AT, an automated teller.
Yeah, automated teller.
It's actually an artisanal teller.
Oh, yeah. artisanal teller.
I'd be so down for that.
Yeah.
You know, he hands me the cash so much better. You know? Like, he really counts. He gives me, like, the really good bills.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, they're, like, crisp on all sides.
Do you have a thing where, like, well, I have this thing where, like, for whatever reason, I think, like, certain bills that I get are, like, collectibles.
Oh, I know what you mean. It has to do with, like, the vintage. You know, like, bills have changed so much, and, like, the same way technology has. Like, when they started having the stripes on the $20 bills, I remember when they didn't have those.
Yeah.
And, like, that was a thing. And I remember, like, holding the $20 bill out up into the sun.
Right.
Like, there's a strip there.
Yeah, thinking, like, I'm thinking, like, oh, okay, now that the strips are out, I can have ones without the strips. And then, like,
they're rare.
And that they're going to be rare. I mean, like, it's still a $20 bill. But I'm thinking, oh, in 1,000 years when I'm still alive, this $20 bill is going to be worth so much, like 50, you know?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
And it won't be dollars because the United States won't exist then.
Uh-huh. I had a coin. Really? You think the United States isn't going to exist?
1,000 years from now?
1,000 years? Okay. I thought you were saying 20 years.
Oh, no. In 1,000 years.
You.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah?
That's okay.
I'm actually wondering if it's going to exist in a few weeks.
Oh. Chris, that's
really dark.
We need to prepare for the coming apocalypse.
We need to start preparing right now.
Yeah, it might come tomorrow, it might come 1,000 years from now, but we need to be ready.
We need to be ready right now. We need to buy canned foods.
We need to buy dehydrated foods.
We need to form a buddy system.
Oh, a buddy system. Yeah, like, okay, you're my buddy.
You're my buddy.
Okay, we're good. We might need to...
Uniform clothing.
What kind of clothing?
Uniform.
Uniform clothing, yes. So that way we know what team we're on.
All the same pattern, no zips.
No zips. I hate zippers.
Or the pants that zip into shorts.
I only like zippers in that instance. We need weapons. We need to protect ourselves.
We do. And we need animals.
We need animals. We need to train those animals to protect us.
We need animals to protect us, and then the animals need to have a buddy system also.
And uniforms.
And uniforms for the animals.
Yes, so when people see us walking down the street, they know, oh, there they are.
And then we need medicine for our animals in case our animals get sick and they can't protect each other, and then they can't protect us, and then I can't protect you.
And then I can't protect you. Yes, so we just basically need to raid every hospital there is, take all their antibiotics, take all their syringes and everything that they have, and then we'll be okay.
Yeah, yeah. No, we'll be fine. And all the gauze and all the first aid kits in case anybody gets injured.
Mm-hmm.
And no shoes. No one should wear shoes.
No. Shoes are just, they hold you back from actually walking.
It's better. It's like, you know, like the barefoot shoes where you have like 5 toes in it and you can just run faster. We'll be like that. We'll be primal.
Yeah. Hobbits didn't need shoes.
No.
They evolved over time to have very hairy, strong, callous feet.
That's how we will withstand the apocalypse.
We're going to become hobbits.
We will evolve into hobbits.
Yes.
We are slaves to the technology that disappoints us.
We just can't get enough of that disappointing, delicious technology.
We go into it knowing that very soon it will be obsolete and we're going to be crushed.
We hate ourselves every second that we use that smartphone.
We are masochists.
We are such masochists. Every time we check Facebook, a little piece of us dies and we kind of like it.
Yes. We hate it when there's a brand new technology that we can't have, so we have to acquire it.
That's right, we never stop. We're never happy with what we have. We always want the next thing, and we resent every second of it.
We resent always being at the top of everything, knowing that pretty soon there'll be another thing above us.
We can't stand it. We just, every time we sign up for a new service or we download a new app, we're just filled with dread and fury and delicious excitement all at the same time.
We loathe ourselves.
It's crazy and we love it.
Oh, we love the fact that we're never, ever going to be happy.
We'll never be happy because technology never stops.
It never stops and we're always almost barely there, but we can never catch it.
We never quite know how the thing we just bought works.
But we know more than our moms.
And that's all that's important.
I remember reading Cormac McCarthy's The Road and thinking, okay, how do I prepare for the apocalypse? I'm so unprepared for it.
Chris, can I interrupt and say that I also know the title of the book, The Road, by Cormac McCarthy.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad we're on the same page there.
Sorry, go on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the idea that can be, like, that could happen. Like, we could be in a situation where, like, I don't know how to start a fire. I honestly don't know how to start a fire without technology. And there's so much that I depend on technology for. I don't know how well I'd be able to survive in a post-apocalyptic world.
Yeah, but I guess I totally see your point. I wonder, like, what's the ideas of apocalypse that we've envisioned come from movies or books, right? Like, we're only getting them from, like, individual people. Like, who's to say that's the way that the world's going to end? How do we know that the world's not going to end with the clowns are luring children in force? Like, how do we know that's not going to be the future and that, like, we planned everything wrong? You know, like, starting a fire? No, we need something that's anti-clown.
Maybe we need something that's anti-clown, but the question is, suppose it transpires anyway, whether it's the clowns, whether it's nuclear winter, whatever it is, it happens. And there are a few survivors left, and you're one of them. Like, that's the question that I'm curious about. Like, you're around. There's just nothing around to help you anymore.
Well,
yeah. I mean, it could be clowns. Like, maybe they're, like...
Krish, I mean, that's the thing is, like, in that world, do you want to exist? I mean, do you want to exist in a world where there's only clowns and no one else to help you?
Well, you know, another book that I'm going to book drop right now is Dostoevsky's Crime and Punishment. And there's an entire part in which the main character muses about how he'd like to live. And he talks about he'd rather live in a box and just not be able to move out of that box than to die. You know, he'd rather
Krish,
live in a box.
Krish, I like to also book drop book.
Yes,
the book is It by the author Stephen King. And it talks of a post-apocalyptic world where there is a clown that terrorizes kids from their childhood until their adulthood. And I have to say that is probably the way we're going to end up.
Dad, I'm dropping out of school. I'm enrolling into clown school. College
that
just isn't for me.
That does not sound like a rational decision. Have you thought this through?
I've thought it completely through. Honestly, from, like, the start of my life to the end of my life, I need to go to clown school. It's the only thing that's going to help me when this world ends.
Bree, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, the world could end plenty of non-clown ways.
Dad, I need to be fully graduated from clown school, I need to own a little car, and I need a red nose.
What if you went to college and, like, just had, like, you got all your gen ed credits out of the way, and I got you a red nose? You could take maybe some clown stuff on the weekends.
So you think I should get like a basis education?
Right. Like a good
once
liberal.
The world has ended by all the clown teachers, though. Like, all the clowns will be all the professors in the school. They'll be running the school in the post-apocalyptic world.
I feel like you might be safer at like a liberal arts college than at a clown college. During the
clowns will be everywhere. So it doesn't matter if it's a liberal arts school. You know, it doesn't matter.
What if the clown apocalypse doesn't happen and then you need a non-clown job because most people aren't clowns and most people don't want to hire clowns?
So I could get like a normal job but have all of my big shoes and all of my clown wigs and everything in the trunk of my car.
Right. I guess if you want to wear crazy shit to your liberal arts school, I think that would be great.
I'm just saying
keep your options open.
I don't think you realize how big of a situation this is. This is beyond you and I. This is the end of the world.
Now you're starting to worry me.
I'm worried.
No, I know. You're worried, but now I'm starting to be worried.
You're worried. I'm worried.
Let's go to clown college together.
Yeah, I know all the books that have ever been written.
You know every single book that's ever
every
been written.
Single book. I went to the library, I saw the titles, I'm like, I'm done.
You realize that the library doesn't have all the books that were ever written, just whatever fits.
Oh, but did they have enough? They have enough.
Sure, I would agree with that, but they don't have all the books in the world, so you don't actually know all the books in the world, which is fine.
So you're saying there are more books that I could learn about?
Yeah, tons.
Okay, so I'm going to go to all the libraries in the world, and I'm going to scan every title, and that way I know all the books.
But, you know, the thing is, books, they predate libraries even. There were books around, you know, before libraries. There are books on the internet. There are books that people self-publish. They're just everywhere. It's not possible.
So you're saying there's like an infinite number of books, and I won't be able to know them all?
Basically.
Okay, you know. I'll write all the books then. I'll find out what the titles are, and I'll just write my own versions of them, and then that way I'll know them all by heart.
Yeah. So I just don't think that it's not humanly possible to do that.
Oh, when you have the imagination that I am coming up with right now, it's totally possible.
There you have a point. You have an impressive imagination.
Thank you.
However... It's just not physically possible to write every single book. There's countless, millions, tens of millions, billions of books probably.
So I should hire some workers and a bunch of typewriters and have them write them for me. I'll dictate and they'll type it up.
I just don't feel like that's a good use of your time, you know? Maybe proving that you are smart through your knowledge of books is not a...
Hey, all I want is the Pulitzer. That's it. And this is the fastest way to it.
I'm not sure that that's accurate. I think just write one really solid, good thing, and then that's probably a wiser path.
Yeah, I guess you kind of have a point there.
Okay, go ahead.
What if I burn all the books in the world right now, and that way, when my books come out, that's all anyone has?
I think you get in a lot of trouble for that. Also, I think maybe you should check your motivations a little bit. Maybe you're not thinking of others.
Well, I mean, I'm sure all the other authors have enough money. They can get by.
No.
Once I burn all their books.
No, they don't make very much money, most of them, actually.
Authors don't make that much money?
No.
Why the fuck am I reading then?
I'm sorry Mommy hasn't been home a lot, but please stop calling my coming to dinner artisanal parenting.
Okay.
I know that, like I just want to serve you a nice hamburger. This is just normal.
But it's, you know, it's personal. You did it. You made it by hand, one by one, individual. It's artisanal.
I know, but it's just, it makes me feel like I'm a bad mother, you know? Like, I know I'm not around a lot, but it's just called parenting, you know?
Well, it's artisanal parenting. Like, you did it yourself. You're inventing it yourself. It's one of a kind right here. It's artisanal.
I literally just brought home, like, some burgers from Super Duper Burger and put them on a plate and handed them to you. I mean, it's just called being a mother.
Okay, I'll stop saying artisanal dinner. Is that what you want?
Yes. I mean, just here we are, just a normal mother-daughter having a normal dinner. They're just like other good mothers and daughters.
I get it. This is great. This is really fun.
Good. Yes. Did you want some root beer?
Artisanal?
what I'm trying to say, Hector, is if and when Trump is elected, we need books. We need to have books ready to go.
To burn?
No.
What are we talking about? Wait, what?
To sell to prepare for the apocalypse.
Oh.
Because that's going to cause it. Like, do you know, in the four, you know, even if he's not elected, if Hillary's elected, you know, what's the guy? One of the foreign ministers in Russia said he wants to start nuclear war.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We're damned either
I
way.
I know Dostoevsky.
There you go. This is serious, Hector. This is a serious thing. Like,
we have to have books.
Yeah, we need to be prepared for that eventuality. We need to be prepared for the worst.
Why do we need books? I don't know, books.
You know, we need to. I don't know how to. Do you know how to make a fire? I don't know how to make a fire, Hector. And that really scares me.
We won't be able to know how to read.
Huh?
Right? Like in the apocalypse, we'll stop reading.
We don't lose the ability to read. Just
Everybody else is preparing for the apocalypse by getting their food stuff ready, but I'm preparing for the clown apocalypse by stocking up on large shoes and big red noses, because if you can't beat them, join them.
Okay, so we're all bummed out about this clown apocalypse, but let me tell you a story called Crime and Punishment. It takes place in Russia. It's about a guy. He's kind of depressed. He decides he's going to, wouldn't be so bad if he dressed up like a clown and murdered this old woman and stole her money, because nobody would miss her, and he would just have to live with being a clown that has a little more money.
John Connor.
You know, when we were in fourth grade, we really thought Edward Furlong was super hot. But now, 20 years later, it's like, Channing Tatum is way hotter than Edward Furlong ever was. And I'm like, we've come so far in 20 years. It's mind-blowing.
I'm just going to start listing books. Winnie the Pooh.
Titanic was kind of a sexual awakening for me in fourth grade.
Me too.
Me too. But when you think about it, everything we know about the apocalypse really came from Stephen King's The Stand by Stephen King.
Yeah, about that. It isn't a post-apocalyptic thing. The Stand is. It's just about an evil clown demon thing. So.
Same.
Shakes the Clown is apocalyptic, though.
The Princess Bride. The Little
By
Prince.
William Golding.
Don't outbook drop me. The Little Prince.
Directed by Rob Reiner.
You win this round.
I like to make my mom feel dumb.
My mom makes me feel dumb.
Before I hand count these 20s to you, I just need you to whisper your PIN number in my ear. And of course, you'll also have to agree that there'll be a $3 fee on top of however many 20s you want.
So, you know, I'm actually feeling pretty good about life. I mean, Obama was just reelected.
Yeah.
I mean, life is on the up. Like,
You know what I love about this is that how Obama campaigned on change, but I'm glad that he got reelected because I like the way that things are going. So like I'm glad that there isn't that it's not gonna change from his previous campaign.
He promised change. And
yeah.
Then, like,
and it changed.
It's changed, and like I'm happy that we're.
But
going,
now I want it to stay the same.
Exactly, exactly. Like I mean, it probably will. I mean, I think we've made progress. It's just going to stay that way. It's not like...
No more progress.
Yeah. It's not like Trump's going to run for president or something.
Thank you so much for sitting in on this podcast.
Yeah.